April 16th, Richard Baxter.
Welcome to 365 Christian Men, where every day we aim to inspire and encourage with real-life stories about men.
On this date, in 1641, Baxter began his 17-year-long pastorate at Kidderminster. He was a man full of contrasts. In church matters, he was a nonconformist, not an Anglican. But he always urged the church to be united. In theological matters, he adopted positions that suited neither Calvinists nor the Arminians. In political matters, he supported the monarchy, but he served as chaplain to the parliamentary army. Baxter was a simple parish pastor, yet he was the most prominent English churchman of the 1600s. Although he was largely self-taught, he wrote more than 200 works. More than 400 years after his death, pastors urge other pastors to read and reflect on this model shepherd, whose motto was, in necessary things, unity, in doubtful things, liberty, in all things, charity. Affliction can prepare ordinary men for extraordinary tasks. His whole life, Richard Baxter suffered from chronic illness that left him weak and uncertain if he would breathe another breath. But when he was 23, he so badly wanted to help people know Jesus that he decided to go into ministry. He said, "Expecting to be so quickly in another world, the great concernments of miserable souls did prevail with me against all these impediments." Baxter believed that if God used him to win one or two souls to Christ, it would be worth all his suffering. He wanted to minister to an area where people had not already heard the gospel, and this led him to the people of Kidderminster, a town of 800 families made up of crude handloom workers. The place was infamous for its ignorance and depravity. After Baxter preached his first sermon, with scarcely one family from each street in attendance, he was unanimously elected minister. He spoke on the importance of church discipline and taking the Lord's Supper. Though he had little education, he was a compelling speaker. His immense knowledge was evident. He could readily quote from any of the hundreds of books that lined his shelves. Baxter went from house to house. The families he visited seriously thought about the things Baxter shared, and many of them cried. Baxter said, "Some ignorant persons who have been so long unprofitable hearers have got more knowledge and remorse of conscience in half an hour's close disclosure than they did from 10 years public preaching." He would leave a chosen book or two from his library for each family to read. Soon, great crowds flocked to hear Baxter, even though his sermons were an hour long and he read straight from a manuscript. The building held 1,000 people, and soon it was full. In fact, the crowds grew so much that 5 galleries had to be built to accommodate all of the people. On any given day, hundreds of families were singing psalms or repeating Sunday sermons in their homes. Concerning the rapid growth, Baxter said, "When I first entered on my labors, I took special notice of everyone that was humbled, reformed, or converted. When I had labored long, it pleased God that the converts were so many. Families in considerable numbers at once came in and grew up. I scarce knew how." Baxter resonated with the words of Jacob in Genesis chapter 41, verse 52, which says, "Jacob named the second Ephraim, for," he said, "God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction." Baxter continued to have pain, but instead of growing bitter, he saw his pains as blessings God used to mold him for greater ministry. He said, "I humbly bless his gracious providence, who gave me his treasure in an earthen vessel and trained me up in the school of affliction." This, he said, allowed him to preach with compassion, as a dying man to dying men. How are you allowing God to use the tool of affliction in your life to prepare you for the extraordinary tasks that lie ahead? Affliction can prepare ordinary men for extraordinary tasks.
St. Andrew's College in Moscow, Idaho, where I live with my wife. However, my five kids and one granddaughter are now spread throughout the whole world. So today I get to give the daily challenge from the life of Richard Baxter, a 17th century Puritan preacher from England. And the thing that I thought was interesting about the story of Baxter's ministry was the role that suffering had to play in it. You should notice that Baxter did not see suffering as something that he simply needed to persevere through, you know, like a toothache that you just ignore while you get your work done for the day. Baxter saw suffering as something that actually accomplished the purpose of God in his life. For the Christian, suffering has a purpose. Now, when I say suffering, I should be clear that I'm talking about more than just the physical pains that we are sometimes afflicted by. I'm talking about the many trials, the hardships, the difficulties that we face in life. These are the afflictions that stand between us and the goals that we want to achieve. But it's so helpful to realize that these afflictions are actually working in our life to help achieve God's purposes for our lives. And His purposes are greater and more glorious than our goals for ourselves. Of course, it can be difficult when you're in the midst of a great trial to suddenly make yourself think, this is great. You know, nothing works. Everything is falling apart. This is also very wonderful. In fact, it's difficult to do that, and if you did do it, you would be just lying, so don't do that. But what you can do is you can look in God's words, in His word, to His promises. Promises like, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. I have His promise in His word right there that He is doing something good right now for me in this trial. I can also look back in my life and I can think of countless moments when I thought that everything was falling apart. And then it turned out that God was, in fact, just as His word promised, He was actually working to bless me in that very trial. I didn't see it at the time, but I can see it now looking back. So I look at God's promises in His word, and I look at God's faithfulness in my life in the past. And from that, I can turn and look again at the affliction that lies in front of me that I'm facing right now. And I can say, I know that I serve a God who can draw straight with crooked lines, that He can take this mess that I am in and not just get me through it, but He can use this mess to glorify Himself and to bless me. Richard Baxter was the kind of man who modeled for us what it's like to look at suffering with the eye of faith and to see good there, to see that the goodness and the faithfulness of God was right there in the midst of that suffering. I want to learn to have that kind of faith.